Let's open the scriptures together, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It came to pass that after a while that the brook dried up, because there be no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the Savior's precious name, and we pray that thou will bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, thou knowest that many times thy children are facing testing times and trying situations, just like Elijah was. And Father, we thank thee that thou didst give him grace and thou didst supply his need. And I pray in the Savior's name that thou will give faith to thy children just to trust thee at all times, and not to faint. O God, I pray that thou wilt give them the strength to go on, even when they cannot see, just to go on knowing that God is upon the throne. Bless thy word to our hearts and do us good, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we've already been looking at the story of Elijah the prophet, and we noticed in our early study of it, we noticed the plan or the assignment that God had for his servant. After God's servant went into the presence of the king, and then he had boldness in the presence of the king to announce the judgment of God, that there would be no rain or dew upon the earth these years, but according to my word. And then God said to his child, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And so therefore God's assignment for his servant was to go to the brook and hide himself by the brook Cherith. And of course, this was a real test of submission to the will of God. It wasn't an easy assignment, because he was a man that was rugged, he was courageous, he was a prophet of God, and God was telling him to go to a brook Cherith and hide there. And that was not what he would have thought, I'm sure, was the proper place to be. But thank God he heard the plan from God, and you and I sometimes are given the plan of God for our lives. We cannot understand it. Maybe it's a tough testing for whether we're willing to trust the Lord and submit to God's will, even when we cannot understand. But not only do we see here the plan here, but we see God has a purpose. Because God is sending his child to hide by the brook. He's doing it for two things. First of all, he's protecting his child. Because the word of God tells us in chapter 18 that in actual fact, Elijah was looking everywhere. It says in verse number 10 of chapter 18, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation nor kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not." And so therefore God was protecting his child. That was the first thing. But God was doing something else, because with God's purpose, it was not only protecting, there was indeed a preparing. And what God was doing here at the brook Cherith, God was preparing his child in that secret place, because he was to hide. He was there alone. And in that secret place, God was preparing his child for the future service that God had for him. And therefore, before he would ever speak in public again, he had to go into the secret place with God. And friend, that is so important, because let me tell you, God wants you to spend time in the secret place. God wants you to come apart and come into the secret place and come into the closet and close the door and spend time in God's presence, because God there is preparing you. Because you'll not be prepared for service if you haven't first of all been prepared in the secret place. Now, this was a severe discipline for Elijah. He had to learn to trust the Lord. He had to learn to wait on God. He had to learn to submit to God. And he did it in the secret place. And I wonder, friend, how much time do you and I spend in the secret place? Because let me tell you, if we're going to have power in the public place, in our public witness for God, we will find the power in the secret place, the place of prayer, even there by the brook Cherith. And so therefore we have the plan, we have the purpose, we have the place, because God says, go to the brook Cherith. Now, Cherith, remember what we found out? It means to cut off or to cut down. In actual fact, in many ways, God was cutting his child down to size, because he had been there out in the forefront of the battle. He'd been standing in the very presence of the king. And now God needs to prune him. I remember when I was a child, my mother had loved roses, and the garden was filled with roses. But for those roses to really excel, they had to be pruned. There had to be a pruning time of those roses. And I can tell you, they were the stronger for the pruning. And they were the better. And there was the better growth and the better flowers because of the pruning. Let me tell you, God does that too with you and me. God has to prune us. And God says, listen, hide thyself by the brook Cherith in the place of isolation. What does it say in Psalm 46? He says, be still and know that I am God. Did Elijah say, why, Lord? I don't know. That's not recorded in God's word. But I tell you, my friend, the only safe for Elijah to be was the place of God's appointment. And that's where God's appointment was, at the brook Cherith. Now, not at a mighty river, or not at a great sea. It wasn't by the Sea of Galilee. No, it was by the brook Cherith. And God says, I want you to absent yourself. The word hide, he says, absent yourself. Absent yourself by the brook Cherith. Come along with me into that place of isolation, alone with God. But I do not find, friend, at this time in Elijah's life, that he developed that lonely mentality. Some people, you know, in isolation, they develop a Cherith lonely mentality. But that's not what God wants us to be. Listen, alone with God, it says, one with the Lord's a majority. So therefore, you're never alone. You're never alone. We sing the wee hymn, no, never alone. No, never alone. He's promised ever to be with me, for I'm no, never alone. And so whilst he was alone with God in that secret place by the brook Cherith. Now, of course, with the plan and the purpose and the place, there comes the promise. And in verse number 4, it says, and it shall be, God speaking to his child, because the word of the Lord came to him, and it says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then go on down to verse number 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Thank God, the promise of provision. God supplying his need, his ample provision, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. Notice, first of all, the source of his supply. It says, I have commanded. God says, listen, go there. He says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The source of the supply, God was in absolute control. He was the source of a supply. Notice the stewards of the supply. It was the ravens, the birds of prey. Listen, you know what God did? God overruled the very basic nature of those ravens, because those ravens would never have allowed Elijah to get a bite of that flesh if it had been left to them, but God overruled. Just as God shut the mouth of the lions whenever Daniel was in the lion's den, God kept the beak of those old ravens close together simply to carry the package of the food for God's servant Elijah. Because you see, they're scavengers and they're birds of prey and they eat the flesh. But thank God the Bible says all they did in verse 6, and the ravens brought the flesh. The ravens didn't eat it. They brought the bread and the flesh in the morning and the bread and flesh in the evening. And thank God, notice not only the source and the stewards, notice the satisfaction of the supply. You see, if a person's in a prison, in those days it would have been bread and water. You got bread and water. But the Lord didn't give his child bread and water. God gave him bread and flesh in the morning, and God gave him bread and flesh in the evening, and of course he needed the water to wash it down. And it says, verse 6, he drank of the brook. So therefore, God had given a satisfactory supply. And thank God it was a sufficient supply. It was all he needed. It was all he needed. And isn't that what God promises for his children? My God shall supply all your need. Didn't say supply your greed. It says, my God shall supply all your need. Thank God he is our sufficiency. God was in control of all the things. And so therefore there was the plan and the purpose and the place and the provision. But then notice, there's a principle here. There's a principle of blessing here. And it's found in verse number 5. So he went. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Obedience. That was the principle. You see, friend, all of those promises were wonderful. And all of that supply was wonderful. But let me tell you, Elijah would never have got it. He would have missed the bread and flesh. He would have missed the water if he hadn't gone to the place of God's appointment. Because notice what God says. I have commanded, in verse 4, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So you got to go where I'm sending you. If you want to be fed, if you want supply, if you want me to give you a sufficiency and a satisfactory supply and have stewards delivering it for you, and I'm the source of it all, if you want that, where do you go? Go to Cherith. Go to the brook. Do what I tell you. And friend, let me tell you this. There had to be obedience. And you know, obedience, the word of God reminds us, obedience is a mark of our salvation and conversion. We sang this morning, trust and obey. And thank God we have to obey. The word of God tells us that in Acts chapter 6, in the verse number 17, it says this, in verse 7, it says, and the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. They were obedient to the faith. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 16, it says this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so therefore, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I don't know what God's will is for you, friend, But I can tell you this, if you want God's blessing, as a principle, you've got to go with God. You can't do your own thing. You can't do your own will. You've got to go, and it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. And the word dwelt there means to live. In other words, he settled down there. He was happy to settle down where God instructed him to go. He stepped out in faith. That was the secret of a success, to step out with God in faith. Remember, Jonah was told of God to go to Nineveh. But instead of stepping out in faith, Jonah decided to go his own way. And friend, let me tell you, not only did the ship get wrecked, but about to get wrecked, but I tell you, all of those ungodly men were about to be drowned because of a disobedient child of God. Obey God. Say, well, I don't understand why God sent me to the brook Cherith. Let me tell you, my friend, God didn't ask you to understand. God asked you to step out in faith. God asked you to trust him. And Elijah had to learn to trust him. As I said, he had to learn to wait on God. He had to learn to submit to God. But he had to learn to obey God. And that was the principle. And then I want you to notice, you say, well, everything, right, he's getting his bread and flesh in the morning, he's getting bread and flesh in the evening, and he's got water from the brook. He's got adequate supply. He'll dwell there happily for the rest of his life. Well, let's just read verse 7. And what I want you to notice in verse 7 is this, it's the providence. The providence. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Here's the providence. After a while, the brook dried up. Now, the word after a while means at the end of days. At the end of days, the brook dried up. What does that mean, at the end of days? It means simply this, friend. At the end of the days when the purpose of God had been fulfilled, now it's time to move on. God's purpose for the brook, God's purpose for that time of isolation and hiding at the brook had been finished. And so therefore, at the end of those days, the brook had dried up. I wonder whenever he sat there and he watched the brook. You see, the ravens were still coming in. They were coming in bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And he was watching and he noticed the brook dried up. Now, it didn't dry up all of a sudden. It would have been drying up. I wonder, did he say, well, listen, God, what's happening to me now? Have you ever questioned what's happening in your life? Lord, what's happening? Because things are not the way. Listen, he had got the brook to drink off and everything. He had bread and flesh, every supply that he needed. And now he looks and he watches and the brook's drying up. And once again, he's facing a time of testing. But you see, friend, let me tell you, Elijah has to continue to learn. His faith must be in God's grace, not on God's gifts. And as long, you see, as God's given us, we can be happy enough. When God's giving us the gifts, my, we can be happy. But now we find that Elijah's faith must be in God himself. And in God's grace for every situation. You see, the question sometimes is this. Was this God's displeasure? Was this a sign of God's displeasure that the brook was drying up? Sometimes it is. Sometimes, friend, God has to chasten his child, whom the Father loves. When you and I walk in rebellion, when you and I are not willing to go with God, listen, sometimes the brook has to dry up, and it is a sign of God's displeasure. It is a sign of God's chastisement upon his people. Let me tell you, down the centuries, God's choicest servants had their brooks dry up, and they had to cast themselves completely upon the Lord. And in the midst of that, you remember this. Maybe your brook's drying up, friend. And you wonder what's happening. Let me tell you, Your name's engraved in the palms of his hand. God can't forget you. God hasn't forgotten his people. God has not forsaken his people. See, let me tell you, that brook drying up was a part of God's plan. At the end of the days, in other words, according to God's timetable. And let me tell you, whenever it comes to that moment, you and I will prove that God has always something better ahead of us. Even when the brook's drying, and you're crying out like old Jacob, "All this is against me. We think this can't be right. The brook's drying." Let me tell you, God at times in our lives is wanting us to trust him even when we can't trace him. When we can't see his face. Have you ever cried out? Many of God's people say, "God, where are you?" In the day of testing. And friend, when you can't see his face, listen, trust his heart. For God loves you the same. And God's timetable, God had a timetable, and it was time for God's servant to move. And our brooks may dry up, and our testings may come. Because, friend, let me tell you, in life, there's not only the rain, but thank God there's the day of sunshine. We read this morning, whether it's the sunshine, whether it's the rain, we read in Hebrews 1, verse 11, "Thou remainest." God, you remain the same. Thou changest not. And, friend, maybe you say, "Well, preacher, it's easy for you to say that, but listen, my brook is drying up, and I'm going through hard tests, and I don't find it easy." Friend, it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. But God knows what's best for us. God knows the plan. And God's child is here having to trust God. Because let me tell you something else about the brook drying up. Wasn't it Elijah who prayed for God to stop the rain? How would the brook continue to run if the rain didn't fall and fill the brook? Didn't Elijah go into the presence of God and say, "God, I want you to shut up the heavens. I want you to stop the rain. And I don't even want you to send the dew." And he says, "It'll not happen, but according to my word." He was in touch with God, friend. He asked God to shut the heavens. He asked God to stop the rain. He couldn't have been surprised now that the brook's drying. You know, I've often said to people, be careful what you ask for. God can give you it. Sometimes God's people say, "Oh God, I want to go through you, Lord. Lord, I'm willing to go through you. No matter what the cost, I'm willing to go through." And friend, let me tell you, when then the cost comes and it's not something you were expecting or you want, you say, "Lord, there's something wrong here." God's child asked for the rain to stop. God's child asked for the dew to be stopped. And now the brook's drying up. But thank God, God's not drying up. God has a plan. God has a purpose. The timetable, yes, after a while, at the end of the days. God's plan was to move his servant. And let me tell you something. Maybe if the book hadn't dried, and he was getting bread in the flesh in the morning, he was getting a full appetite and plate full in the evening, it's hard to move God's people at times. And God says, "I'll move you. Because the brook's drying. Because you not only need the bread and the flesh, you need the water too." You see, God has something bigger along the way for his child. Remember Jacob said, "All these things are against me." And yet God has something bigger along the way. And if you're sitting at the dried up brook this morning, and you say it's not easy to sit there, preacher, let me tell you, get your eyes upon the Lord, because if you're going through with God, God has something good. God has something good to give you. His will is always best. And up to that moment, Elijah learned to trust God, but he has to continue to trust him. It's easy to trust the Lord. I sing the wee hymn, the God in the mountain. Yes, it's easy to say I trust him when things are at their best. But in the valley of trial and temptation, that's when faith is really put to the test. And you'll have those occasions. And so therefore it says in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, yes, at the right time, God speaks again. God is about to reveal the next step. God says, Elijah, don't you worry. The brook's drying, but I haven't lost control. I'm still absolutely in control. And God is molding the character of his servants. And friend, let me tell you this. When we get to the next chapter, chapter 18, we witness how God's servant uses his training in the school of God. But if there never had been success in chapter 17, there never would have been a success in chapter 18. Oh, we can read about the mountain, Mount Carmel, about God sending the fire down and the great success that happened on Mount Carmel. But let me tell you, before you get to the Mount Carmel, you've got to go to the Brook Cherith. And God was training his child. God was molding his child. Before doing anything, before moving a step, Elijah needs a word from God, and that's what happened in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, time to move, Elijah. A new place, new experience. But I'm going to teach you there too. You see, friend, let me tell you. I've learned that even at my age. Every day you're learning something. If you're willing to learn, you'll always learn something. And God's child is going to learn more. Because not only had he a new experience at the next place, he had two new experiences, two fresh challenges. And that's what they come to very quickly, a new challenge. God says in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God was taking his child further. You know what Zarephath means? It means to melt. To melt. Like gold that's melted in the crucible under the furnace. Heat. And that's what God was going to do, friend. Do you know what they do in the crucible and the melting of the gold or the silver? They're refining it. They're refining it. They're getting rid of the dross. And that's what God's doing in our lives, friend. When God puts your life and mine into the crucible, and God is not doing it because he doesn't care. It's not that God has forgotten us. It's because God loves us and really cares that God's refining us to make us more like him. Just as they separate the dross from the gold. God is separating the dross of our lives, and we shall come forth as gold. Now, what about the Zarephath? It says here, get thee to Zarephath. Now, that was easy. Do you know what distance? 100 miles. 100 miles. God says, I want you to go to the next place, but I'm sending you to Zarephath, 100 miles away. And I'm sure Elijah says, Zarephath, Lord, notice what it says. It belongeth to Zidon. It wasn't even in Israel. It was an enemy territory. Of course, for Elijah, Israel was enemy territory because they're looking out for him to kill him. And God says, I want you to leave that Brook Cherith. I want you to leave hiding. And I'm going to bring you out into the open. And you're going to walk 100 miles. Do you know where he had to walk through? Ahab, who was looking for him, he had to walk 100 miles through his territory. not hiding anymore. Right out into the open. To get there, Elijah had to walk through the territory ruled by Ahab. It was only 8 miles from Zidon. And the city of Zidon, friend, remember, who was the ruler? The ruler of that city was the leader of the worship of Baal. And do you know who he was? Jezebel's father. The boy says, Lord, are you making a mistake here? Lord, why would you send me to Zarephath? Why would you send me to Gentile territory? And often in our lives as Christians, friend, God leads us through difficult territory. Man that is born of a woman, the word of God says, is a few days and full of trouble. John says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Friend, let me tell you, it's not easy. This wasn't an easy journey. But remember, Noah, God told him to build an ark. That wasn't an easy task. To build an ark, and people were laughing at him and people were mocking at him. And yet God says, I want you to build an ark. God says to Abraham one day, I want you to take your son. He's your only son. He's your beloved son. And I want you to take him to Mount Moriah. And I want you to put him on an altar. And I want you to slay him. Was that an easy task? But God asked Abraham to do it. He put him to the test. We're reading in Bible class about Daniel. Let me tell you, my friend, God called Daniel, and Daniel, for his trust in God, was put in a den of lions. Was that a needy place to be? The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were told to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But they were not only to bow down before a friend, they were to worship it. Was that an easy task? Everybody else was doing it. Just three Hebrew boys. And he says, if you don't, we'll put you in the fire. And the three lads were willing to say, listen, we'll go into the fire if that's what God purposes or plans. You see, life for the child of God, friend, has many strange twists and turns. And God is showing us one here. He says, go to Zarephath. And then God says this. He says, I'm sending you to dwell in Zarephath with a widow woman. Now let me tell you, friend, a widow woman at that time was the poorest of the poor. And yet God says to him, I have commanded a woman, widow woman, there to sustain thee. What's Elijah going to do? This is God's will, friend. And you know how the will of God was revealed? And here's the secret. People are asking me all the time, preacher, how can I know the will of God? Here's the primary knowledge of God's will, friend. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him. It's God's word. You need a word from God, friend. You need to get into the place, that secret closet, and wait before God and get a word from God. And if you want to discover the will of God, and you must discover the will of God if you're going to walk in obedience to God, then you must get the word of God and get to the word of God. And so fine, God says, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. And he says, I want you to dwell there. Dwell there. Verse 9. In other words, you're going to stay there. You're going to stay there. That was the challenge. But quickly notice the comfort. It says there in verse 9, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now remember, this was enemy territory. You say, did this woman love the Lord? Was this God's child that was providing? No, I don't believe she was. See, the Bible says that God can use the wrath of man even to praise him. And what makes me believe that this was not a woman that knew the Lord, if you look on down the passage of God's word, whenever Elijah was speaking to her, when Elijah was speaking to this woman, in verse number 12 it says, "And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth." It wasn't her God. It wasn't her God. At the start of this, she had not a relationship with God, friend. But I want to tell you, she did at the end. Because if you look down in verse 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, now that by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." God can use your difficult circumstances, friend, to be the means of bringing somebody else to Christ if you walk in obedience with him. If you're willing to let the Lord work in your life, you say, "But I don't understand." But as I said, you don't have to understand. Let the Lord have his way, the weak chorus says, in your life every day. There is no peace, there is no joy until the Lord has his way. But whilst this woman, friend, listen, had not a personal relationship with God, here's a wonderful thing. God had chosen her before she was ever aware of it. Because this is what God says in verse 9. "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." God had already chosen her before she ever knew it. And she had no relationship with God. Let me tell you, that's our story. Because before we ever knew it, thank God we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? That before our mother ever gave us birth, that God has his mark upon us. And you see that choice? "I have commanded the widow woman." Notice, "I have commanded." There is an act of sovereign grace. It was God's choice. "I've commanded. I've chosen this woman, a poor, dependent widow. And yet God was exercising his sovereignty. He says, "I have commanded her to sustain me there." What God was saying, and here's the comfort, friend. God was saying, before God's child ever moved from that place, listen, "I'm in control of the whole situation. I've commanded the woman already to sustain thee there." God sovereignly in control. And I believe that that was the thing that enabled Elijah to go forward. And in verse 10 it says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, assured, knowing that this was of the will of God." God had prepared the path. Now the brook was drying, but man's extremities, God's opportunity. And friend, as you and I move into the future in faith, thank God we have something. Yes, Elijah could move because he had a promise of God. Listen, you and I have a book full of promises. This book's full of promises. And who are they for? They're for you and me. And the sad reality is that many of God's children don't know what the promises are. And they can't claim them because they're not people of the book. And they only take little morsels here, there, and some other time they'll get another morsel. They don't spend time in the Word of God. I believe that Elijah's humility was tested here. He was to receive charity at the hands of a desolate woman. He was to be dependent upon the poorest of the poor. And I believe God was challenging his self-confidence and his self-sufficiency. God was certainly melting him, knocking the corners off him, because Elijah was someone who was bold and forward for God. We're going to have to finish here this morning. It says he arose. He arose and he came to serve it. And I love that. And behold, the widow woman was there. She was there. God fulfilled his promises. And let me tell you, when you trust God, friend, God will not disappoint you. For he is not a disappointment. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And as Elijah sat at that brook, and that woman was 100 miles away, you know what you'll find? There's a lesson, and we'll come back to it. God was working at both ends of the line. God was absolutely in control. He was working at Cherith. As the brook was drying up, he was working at the same time in Zarephath, commanding a wee widow woman. And the Bible says, there I've commanded her to sustain thee. What promise? Step out on the promises, friend. Thank God as you face a new week. What will it hold? I don't know. But brothers and sisters, step out on the promises. Claim the promises of God. Rest on the promises of God. Get to the Word of God. May warm your soul as you sit at the fire of his book. Feast your soul as you sit at the bountiful supply of his Word. And rejoice your heart that come what may, God's working. His plan, his purpose, his place, his promise, his providence, all of God. To God be the glory. And that's what we'll see in the end of the journey. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and that same grace will bring me home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to your heart, the hearts of your people. Oh, encourage us in these days. We look around the world and there's so much tragedy. Oh, God, it seems the world is in a melting pot. It seems to be, Lord, there's so much trouble everywhere. And yet, Lord, we thank thee within our breast. We can have peace in the midst of all that storm. There are those who are not saved. They know nothing of that peace. Bring them to Christ. Oh, save them. Get their sins under the blood. Get them to Jesus. By faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.